Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to A Real Point of View. I'm your host, Greg Morgan, with my co-hosts, internet critics Larry Domkowski of Must See Movies and Karen D, the movie maven. What's going on, Larry? How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. And you, Karen?
I'm doing very well.
Wonderful. Well, we've posed a really great theme for tonight's show. What is a true indie film? And to help shed some light and provide some insight on the matter are Eric Humphries and Daryl Rampert with Quiet on the Set magazine. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
What I'd like to do, just to kind of help the listeners out and give them some kind of insight with regard to you guys, so, Eric Humphries, you're the publisher of this magazine, and Daryl, you are the co-editor, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Can you give us kind of a brief overview as to what your magazine is all about before we get started?
Well, Quiet on the Set magazine is it's an online digital magazine that focuses on film, arts, and entertainment. We have everything from film to music to fashion, health, fitness, and business. So we focus on a variety of things, although primarily we are a film magazine that's designed not only for mainstream film, but specifically for independent filmmakers, those that are trying to break into the film business and those that are trying to get their films seen and distributed.
Okay. Sounds like a great endeavor. And so that, from what you just said, that means that you're really, really focused and in tune with regard to indie film, being that independent filmmakers and actors and actresses are part of your motif. Well, to get started, let's ask you guys a question up front. What is a true indie film to you? Either gentleman can take the lead on that.
Well, to me, this is Eric Humphries. I don't know if you can classify a true indie film. I think to me, my personal belief about an indie film is basically one that has its own creative narrative without having Hollywood dictating what you need to do, how you're going to shoot your film. That's my take on it. Your creativity, your narrative, your storyline, and everything you put in it, your own decision without anybody dictating to you how you're going to do your film. What do you have?
I believe that today the term independent film is somewhat of an oxymoron. I don't know if you can really define what an independent film is anymore because it's such a gray area. You have so many elements that come into play from production to financial backing to distribution. So any one of those elements could or could not dictate how someone views your film and whether they consider it an independent film or not.
So let me ask you this. Looking at what we would typically or more classically consider an indie film, what is it that made up an independent film in the past, and why has that changed so much now that that we're into this millennium, pretty much?
Well, I think that, you know, decades ago, like perhaps in the 60s and 70s, you had filmmakers and producers that could just go out, purchase a Super 8 camera, get a cast and crew of people together, get grip lighting people. And if they had their crew together, they had their actors, they had their scripts, it was really a self-contained operation. They didn't have anyone dictating what methods of shooting. All they had to do was just abide within the guidelines of basic norms. So independent films in you know, back in the day were truly independent. Now, with major studios knowing that you have a lot of filmmakers, that there have been a lot of films that started out as so-called independent films that once they got buzz with, you know, say film festivals or the internet, and they caught fire, then these studios wanted to come on, or certain other people wanted to come on and be executive producers and back these films. So a lot of people say that negates the whole term of independent film.
Mm-hmm.
So there are, you know, the rules have definitely changed from what they used to be, you know, say 25, 30 years ago.
Okay. Larry, why don't you go ahead and give us a question for our gentleman. This is Larry Domkowski, critic from Must See Movies.
Hey, guys. First of all, I want to thank you very much for being on the show. It's a real pleasure and honor to have you here.
Thank you.
I think you're right that the nature of independent films have changed a lot over the decades, and we could certainly get into the history of that. But I think what's more important is what's going on today, and the talent that's in that brain trust that's bringing us these independent films. Is there anybody out there right now that you know about that is really, you know, fighting the good fight and really trying to bring their art and their voice to the independent film that should be noted?
Ava DuVernay, she's one. The one that makes Thelma.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of them. She's still in the fight. She's producing some more projects coming up shortly, in the next, I'll say the next year or so. I just had a chance to speak with the cinematographer, the DP of Selma, which is a colleague of mine at Howard University. So they're truly in the trenches doing their thing and doing indie films. So that's one of them to mention.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people out here right now. There's a lot of directors out here right now that people have yet to hear of that are making wonderful films, making groundbreaking films, because I think the whole Hollywood system, the whole studio system, has turned a lot of people off with its rules, regulations, and restrictions. So a lot of people are taking it upon themselves to go out and do their own thing and do the festival tours, and yeah, they're doing their own thing. You know, they're going to, you know, Kickstarter or other avenues like that to finance and fund their films. And it's not
That's important for you to mention that they're finding different ways to find the money without selling out to the corporate Hollywood, and that's a big deal. As far as the studio system's been gone for 30 years or more at this point. That really finally left with people like Spielberg, you know, who who couldn't get the money to build to make Jaws, so he found other ways of getting the money, and the studios were angry at themselves for not doing what he wanted. But what's happening today, I think, is even more miraculous, with people really trying to find different and creative ways to find ways to budget these films and to get these films made from the start. So I think this is great. I look at films like the German film Run Lola Run, or Being John Malkovich came out a few years back, or Pi with Aronofsky. All these films were independent films and all fantastic films.
Right. A great example of that was Being John Malkovich. I thought that was probably one of the greatest films that I've seen in the last decade. And I don't know if Hollywood understands a film like that. I don't know if the studio system would take a gamble on a film like that. I just wrote an article about all of the remakes and reboots and resurgences of films from yesterday, not to mention the sequels that are coming out just this year alone. I think there's something like 14 that are out, this year alone. So Hollywood likes to play it safe. And, if it's remotely successful, then they want to jump on board.
And that's how you define what indie films are. You just said that, made a point. They want to play it safe. And that's how I define independent films, because independent films have a certain quality, a certain narrative, a certain style, a certain rhythm in their storytelling. So that's how I define it, because they don't play safe, and I love that about independent films. The different.
But you mentioned.
Well, we've actually got a. Before you get that thought out, Larry, let me bring a caller in. We have a caller on the line. Hold on just a moment. Hello, caller. Give us your name and where you're calling from. Hello, caller. Looks like they dropped off. Okay. Go ahead, Larry. What was your question?
Greg, I actually wanted to ask a question.
Sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Karen.
Okay. Given what you all have said about independent films, especially versus the what major studios do, and I agree with everything you've said up to this point. One question I have do you think it is ever possible, can it ever be possible for a major studio to make a truly independent film?
I don't. Personally, I don't. Not in this day and age. I think maybe that in the past it would have been. But the way that the studios are structured nowadays, no, because it's a money-making machine. And Hollywood studios aren't willing to take a risk. That's why you see so many remakes. That's why you see so many sequels and reboots, because they want to play it safe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to add to that, gentlemen and Karen, the studios do like to play it safe. They have these formulas. And give you an example, Quentin Tarantino, the first films he made were independent films. Now Hollywood's jumped on board, and even though technically what he does is independent, the Hollywood now distributes his films. And so he needs to satisfy them, even though it's definitely a Quentin Tarantino film, make no mistake about it, but his films have become formula, but only he can do it. He's very talented in that way. There are a few other people that are like that too. That they're John Waters, all of his films, independent films, but he's got this formula, and Hollywood knows that formula, and they can bank on it now.
Well, it looks like our caller came back, so why don't we go ahead and see if we can get them in here? One moment. Hello, caller. Can you hear me? And if you can, give us your name and your question. Okay, I don't know what's going on there. Let me bring in another caller.
Hello.
Hello, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you. Can you hear us?
We can hear you now. Give us your name and
okay.
What's your question?
Hey, this is Linda and Nicole with DC Homegrown Entertainment. How's everybody?
Hi.
Hey, we just wanted to say that we're independent filmmakers as well, and we are definitely feeling the struggle of trying to get into the big machine known as Hollywood.
Exactly.
I believe that.
Mm-hmm. So I guess we all have to come up with a particular formula that we can get into to Hollywood. I guess everybody has their own individual formula, but how do you get in? That's the question.
My question is, do you really want to get into Hollywood, or you continue being an independent filmmaker? Is that your goal?
It's 50-50. We have three scripts written, so we would like to sell those scripts, and we feel as if that'll be our end to get into quote-unquote Hollywood. If not, then I guess we have to continue to do our independent films and just push it in that way. We have social media now, so I guess that's a good way to push things.
Yeah, because social media is very big in self-distribution. There's many ways to push your work. Yeah.
Now,
you
ladies.
Eric.
I was gonna ask a question. This is Greg on a real point of view. Are you ladies getting a lot of support in your area with regard to your films and your scripts that you're trying to get out there and get produced?
Well, right
I
now,
wouldn't call it a lot. I wouldn't call it a lot of support. I mean, we get some hometown support, but in terms of trying to branch out beyond the D.C. metro area, I would say the answer to that is no.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple of great quotes from filmmakers, and one of the best ones, and frankly, so many of filmmakers used to say this, but if nobody understands your idea, that means you've got a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words, it doesn't fit into their formula. It's a matter of each individual filmmaker wanting to or needing to find the right dialogue, to find the right right pieces to put their film together, the story they want to tell together. So don't stop. You know, I think that being an independent filmmaker is, and having worked with them before in the past. Being an independent filmmaker is a tough job that you have to love doing it, and nobody can tell you how to make your movie.
So can I ask you a question?
Ross.
I'm here. My name is Ron. I'm up here with DC Homegrown. When you guys say a base of support, what about you guys putting together a base of support? You know, you got to go in terms of when you talk like, let's say, the Boys and Girls Club, or recreational centers in a neighborhood, you guys got to start building. I'm saying you guys because I'm not into that. I'm just a bleacher seat, so to speak. But you have to develop your own areas of what you're doing. You have to put together a club of your own. So you can't wait for somebody to let you in on something. You have to do your own creativity. You can't sit back. You have to build your own bait. When you say you're getting support, you got to build your own support. At this point, it's just like a car. You want to get rid of your car, you want to get a new engine. You got to make a choice for that particular situation. If an engine costs $500 and you love that car, you get a new engine. So you got to stop waiting for Hollywood to accept you, and you got to start building your own bases in your own areas so some people can go to places and build that particular situation and stop worrying about the big remember, everybody started somewhere. You know, Jay-Z is only who he is because Biggie and Tupac is dead. Okay,
you know,
understand that.
There's wisdom in your words. When I started working in the film industry back in the last millennium, almost everybody in Chicago was freelance, and very few people were actually in the unions. But the great thing about that was you got to know all of these in doing this. In working on things like commercials and industrial movies, you got to learn who all the cameramen were, who all the assistant cameramen were.
Right, that's called strength in number, my brother. Strength in number.
That's right.
You got to get together with strength in number. You can't individualize yourself.
When you individualize,
I don't mean to talk good about it, forgive me, but when you individualize yourself, you're getting into a zone called divide and conquer. Okay, when you independent filmmakers start putting yourself on a board of like a chess game or a checkered game, you're putting yourself in individual squares. When you have to get stuff that has no boundaries.
And this is a community art form.
It truly is.
And so one way that people can start is by becoming a production assistant, for crying out loud. But don't tell people that's what you want to be. Tell people you want to. Don't even tell people you want to be. Tell people you are a filmmaker. You know,
right?
And this is one of those things that if tomorrow you want to be a film editor, then you say I'm a film editor. Oh, cool. What are you working on right now? I'm working on my first project.
Right.
And you know
everybody
what?
Needs everybody.
And by doing that, you're the person who gives yourself. Give yourself the credit you need. And that first time you do that, it is so powerful. And it's so powerful to yourself. You know.
Well, get the power, yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, we are definitely resilient, and we try to, as Tupac says, make a dollar out of 15 cents. That's what we do.
And don't be afraid. And don't be afraid to get out there and get into making commercials and documentaries and industry films, just to get to know who the people are and how they work. Because you know you may need a cameraman, but you know you work with Billy better than you work with John, and so you're going to call Billy, though, but you don't know Billy yet. So you got to get involved in the community. Let people know on the set.
That's called it. It's all relative, brother. Like cousins and nieces and nephews. Everything is relative.
Yeah.
You know, people say they got a bunch of cousins. That means that they're cousins by marriage, through blood, and otherwise. So we all have to get together relatively, no matter where you work, whether you work for the government or whatever you do. If you work for a government institution in D.C. and you transfer to New York, you take that talent to New York in the same aspect. You're still a government employee. You know how the government works. You're just doing something now relative to what you do. You're doing a New York style as opposed to D.C. style. So the same way filmmakers have to work the same way. It's all relative, cousins, nieces, nephews. You all got the same thing in common. You ever notice when there's a big snowstorm, that's when all the neighbors get to know each other? You don't know anybody until it's 5 inches of snow outside and everybody's shoveling snow at the same time. Hey, Harry, Larry, Kim, Joyce, Joan, because all y'all got a shovel in y'all hand and y'all are all doing the same purpose, y'all shoveling snow. Other than that, y'all don't even speak to each other, right? You don't even speak to each other until there's a damn snowstorm. That's a damn shame.
Karen, I think you were going to say something.
I agree with all of that. What this discussion brings to mind, a movie that I remember caused a huge sort of gathering of voices. It's from 1993. It's a movie called Sankofa. That was an independent movie. I don't know if you all have ever heard of it. The writer was Haile Gerima. I'm not sure how his last name is pronounced. And he also directed the movie. But he basically did what Oscar Michaud did back in the early 20th century. He basically pulled this movie together out of nothing. But it was a very compelling movie about like a high fashion model who was very disconnected, African American model who was disconnected from her past, and she was taken back to Senegal to and to the place where slavery began, to understand the struggle of Africans in America as well as Africa. And it was a really interesting, and in my mind, it really embodied a truly independent film.
And it gained notoriety also. He won a lot of awards in Africa. He won a prestigious award similar to Academy Award, the Oscars here. So it did very well.
Mm-hmm.
And he pushed that independently. Film directed it. Matter of fact, he's one of my professors up at Howard.
Ah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's great to know him, too.
Karen, another movie in the same genre, was Daughter of the Duck.
What'd you say, Greg?
I have another call I'm trying to bring in. So, Nicole and Linda, if you guys can hang out with us for the rest of the night. Caller, can I get your name
okay.
and where you're calling from?
Hello?
Hi. You're on
Hi.
The air. What's your name?
My name is Ebony, and I'm calling on behalf of Quiet on the Set.
Oh, how you doing, Ebony?
Doing good. I just wanted to bring up something that, you know, may resonate more with the younger listeners of the show. To make sure that when you're trying to distribute the indie films, that you're not forgetting about the YouTubes, not forgetting about the Redbox and the Netflix. I mean, as far as YouTube goes, there was a series. It wasn't necessarily a movie, but Angry Black Girl was really able to get a lot of popularity through just having a series on YouTube. And it was something that, you know, really resonated on college campuses. And it was something that people kind of grew to love, and also House of Cards on Netflix. Just things that you have to consider. It may seem like it's going to cost a lot, but actually, you know, if you do those different Kickstarters, you're able to get those funds to actually contribute to those different platforms.
Well, that's the new way of distributing films these days. It's becoming wider and most widely used. Our online streamings and like Netflix and all those. So that's becoming very big these days, and getting your film distributed. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, I would tell people not to forget about crowdfunding sources. You know, like we're saying, you know, there's Amazon, there's GoFundMe, you know, there's Kickstarter. I think Kickstarter is probably far beyond the most popular right now, but there are other avenues, you know, to that. Back in the day, you would have someone that had money who would sign on as the executive producer, who really had very little to do creatively with your film, but they backed it, they funded it.
Mm-hmm. And you know,
and
one of the great things about what the caller mentioned, it almost takes nothing. A few minutes of your time to get a YouTube account. It takes some minutes of your time to get that going.
Exactly.
Well, unfortunately, you guys, I appreciate everyone's comments, and thanks for the callers who called in. Eric and Daryl, I appreciate you guys. Sadly, we've only got about a minute left. So what I'd like to do is make sure that you guys can give us your links and any relevant information so we can be in touch with you and your magazine.
Well, I'd like to invite everyone to sign on to QuietOnTheSetMagazine.com. Our magazine officially launches on June 1st, so we're looking for everybody to log on and read our magazine, give us your feedback, let us know what you think. We put a lot of work and time and effort into it, and we're very proud of the finished product.
And what is your Twitter account? Can you give us that link as well?
QOTS at Twitter, We also have Facebook, QOTS, our Facebook account.
And Instagram, QOTS Instagram account as well.
QOTS, acronym for Quiet on the Set.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd like, again, to thank you guys for coming on our show, and we'd like to get you back on our show sometime soon. We appreciate you coming with us. Thanks again, Larry, and thanks again, Karen, for hanging out. That's it for our Real Point of View. Thanks again for listening in, and check us out on our archive. You can leave comments at A Real Movie Guy on Twitter and on our Facebook account, A Real Point of View. Thanks, everybody, and make sure you get out to the movies. Have a good night.
All right. Thank you for having us. We appreciate the time.
Thank you.
All right. Good night.